As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
The unsaved person will not understand scriptural principles until he or she has first accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, you're not going to be interested in this book until the Holy Spirit resides in your heart. But then your spirit will bear witness with the Bible because you know the author personally and you're interested to know what he revealed to us.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Rooted in Biblical Ministry.
God was in Christ, and that it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And when someone says, hey, you know, we just need to be tolerant and hold hands with all the other religions, we need to say, time out, wait a minute. We cannot hold hands with someone who denies that God ever had a son, much less that his son is God in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is eternal God. And we see that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus came as the God-man, born in the flesh, 100% man, 100% God, to bring a sinful world into relationship with God the Father. And that's the gospel. But notice also, he has given to us this message, the word of reconciliation. Notice that again there in verse number 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now just stop right here for a minute. How many of you thank God you live in America today? How many of you know what I just preached 3 minutes ago? In many countries of this world, I could be killed for. I thank God I live in America today. How many of you thank God you have a Bible today? Literally, men were burned at the stake for printing the Bible because the Church of Rome feared the people having the Bibles. We live in a free country. We have the Bible. And so literally, we can illustrate this fact that God has given to us the word of reconciliation. It's been given to you and to me. We have it. We possess it. He's committed unto us his gospel message. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so God has given us his plan of reconciliation so that we might share it with this day and this world in which we live. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was preaching in Houston, Texas, and there was a lady in the church that was a manager at NASA. I preached Monday night, and I preached Tuesday morning. I was getting ready to preach Tuesday night. And the lady said to the pastor, if Brother Chappell would like to see the Mission Control Center, I would be more than delighted to show you, Pastor, and Brother Chappell around. And he asked me, and the pastor seemed to want to do it. And I said, all right, that'd be great. And so we went down to Mission Control, and they were showing us around this big room and all the computers, and they talked about how they supported the space shuttle and how it all worked with different satellite systems. And there were these big screens up there showing how the space shuttle would orbit the Earth, and it was all really, really interesting. And while we were in that room, I was just kind of moseying around, and I looked over on the side wall, and there was a sign, and the sign said, Mission Statement for Mission Control. Now, I like to read mission statements, purpose statements, but I thought, man, this is good. Mission Statement for Mission Control. I want to see what it says. And I walked over to that side wall, and I saw that plaque, and I began to write this down, and this is what it said. To always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequence. So they wanted those engineers to know that if our astronauts are up in space and that shuttle starts to get the jitters, or there start to come some of the tiles flying off, that suddenly and unrepentantly, those men on the ground better be doing everything they can to get those astronauts back down to Earth, and that they were to be ready suddenly and unrepentantly to realize that they had a role where their performance had ultimate consequences. Now, just as sure as those men needed to be alert and ready, and thank God for the men that are here in our military who are ready at any moment to defend our freedom, just as surely as they need to do that, God says, I want you to be ready to give my gospel in this community where you live. Look at 1 Peter 3:15 in your notes. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Notice this now, and be ready always. Would you say that with me, please? And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God says, now look it, my scriptures are my word at the center of your life and ministry. Any church that's worth its salt has the Bible right in the middle of everything going on. And I want you to understand that in the middle of my Bible is a message of reconciliation that I sent my son, and that I was in my son, that he was God in the flesh, and that he died for the sins of the world. And just like an engineer at NASA should be ready at any moment to get those astronauts home, I want you to be ready at work tomorrow. I want you to be ready in the neighborhood tomorrow. I want you to be ready at any moment to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be here this morning just listening intellectually then. We ought to be listening with a thought, how could I use that verse with a friend of mine? How could I use that scripture with my teenager? How can I get in the ministry with what I'm hearing right now, you see? And so we see that we're to be rooted in the scriptures. Notice, secondly, we need to be rooted then in service. The reason we're rooted in the scriptures is so that we can be rooted in a life of service or ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, notice it says in verse 19, it says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, let me ask you this morning, what interests you? What is big to you? And I know you're in church right now, and so a lot of you are going to say, oh, the Lord, the Bible, missions, you know, whatever you're preaching about, that's big to me. You know, let's rewind that. Let's just rewind it 3 days. What have you been talking about on Facebook? How's your... How's your identity on Facebook? When you set your account up, what did you say about yourself? Now, it's amazing to me, some Christians, and say, has he been looking at my Facebook lately? Aw, oh, yes. No, I haven't been looking at your Facebook, but I've seen a few in my day. And I've seen some Christians, and I have to look a long time before I see Christ anywhere on that Facebook page. Now that when they're with me, amen, pastor, we love the Lord. We gotta whoop those liberals and bring this country back to God. We're not going to do that if everything on your Facebook is anything but Jesus Christ or the Bible. I'm just saying, what interests you? What do you talk about? I mean, are you ready at a moment at work? Do you have a gospel tract? Do you have a verse memorized? I mean, is there anything in your heart that you can use to be ready at a moment's notice for the Lord? Now, God says, look it, I want you to be rooted and ready for service. And notice this, if you would. First, Christ has given us a specific ministry, verse 19. It is the word of reconciliation, John 20:21. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And oh, that we would understand that God says, I'm going to send you out. I want you to be ready. Matthew 28, the scriptures say in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. 40 times in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, he healed somebody. And yet 36 of those 40 times, somebody had to bring that person to Jesus Christ in order to be healed. Who do you work with? Who do you know that you could bring to the house of God, that you could give them a gospel tract? There's somebody that you can bring them to the point of reconciliation if you would share Christ with them. You see, God has given to us a specific ministry. You say, oh, pastor, no, you're in the ministry. The pastoral staff, they're in the ministry, but the Bible indicates he's given all of us the ministry. All of us the ministry. Not only that, Christ has given us a privileged office. Notice this, if you would please, in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God says to this church, he's not talking to the pastors, he says to the church at Corinth, hey, you're the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is a person sent from one sovereign power to another sovereign power and is to represent the sovereign that deputized him, and he's to represent him well. When I was in high school, I had a function at school and got my parents' permission to take a young lady. I attended Soul Foreign High School, was a school for missionary kids and some ambassadors' kids and business kids. And so the young lady that I was going to take to this function, her dad was the ambassador from Germany. And I couldn't pick her up in a taxi. That's how you got around in Korea. So she said, that's all right. She said, I'll arrange it and you can be picked up. And they picked me up in a shiny black limousine, and we went to that embassy and where I was to greet her, and it was just as polished and so much different regalia and so many different policies that they had, and her behavior and her deportment and the time she had to be in, and they gave me some clues, and it all revolved around this fact that her and her family represented Germany, and they were commanded and instructed and trained to represent Germany well. And I want you to understand, as a Christian, you are the representative of Jesus Christ, and we need to represent him well. And every time a Christian's filled with bitterness or anger, and every time some Christian falls into immorality or has some other scandal going on, every time that happens, it hurts the name of Jesus Christ. What kind of an ambassador are you for Jesus Christ? A cussing ambassador or a Christian ambassador? He says, you are my ambassador, my representative, 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Notice that, workers together with him. Hey, if I understand this properly, my partner and yours is none other than the Lord himself, and we're yoked together, we're serving together. And God says, I want you to realize what a privilege it is to be a Christian and to represent me. Baptist missionary Adoniram Judson served the Lord in Burma for 18 years without a furlough. Many of those years he was imprisoned. In fact, for 6 of those years, as he preached and preached, he never saw one single convert. After years in prison, he came out of prison to see his dear wife, and within days of his release from prison, she died, and he had to place her little body in a wooden casket, put it on a ship, send it back to America. He went back to his desk and wrote in his journal these words, "Life is short. Millions of Burmese are perishing. I am almost the only person on earth who has attained their language to communicate salvation." And he did translate the Bible, and he did preach the gospel, and hundreds of thousands of people came to know Christ in this country, modern day Myanmar, and they trace it all back to one man, Adoniram Judson, who recognized that God had given him the ministry of reconciliation. I don't necessarily think God wants all of us to go to Burma or China, though he may, but I'm simply saying today, you have a sphere of influence in your family, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, and God has put you there to be his ambassador, to be his representative. That's why we need to get rooted in the scriptures so that we can get rooted in his service. But you know, none of that really matters unless you are personally rooted in a Savior. And I want you to see this as we close this morning. We need to make sure today that we are rooted in Christ, rooted in the Savior. Look at verse 21 in our text this morning. This is such a wonderful verse. What a wonderful verse. I want you to read it with me. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." All right, let's read it again now. You found it. You know where it is. You heard it once. So let's lift our voices now and let's read, because this is a great verse. I want you men to read it like you mean it. 2 Corinthians 5:21, ready, begin. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Now, the way that we are rooted in the Savior is through his gospel message. It happens through the gospel. It's not through a church. It's not through a denomination. It's through Christ himself. And I want you to see the gospel here in this verse. Notice it says, "For he," that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son. So God the Father hath made him, hath allowed his Son, Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us. So those of you that are English teachers, Jesus is the direct object in this sentence, and he became the direct object of our sin. He bore our sin. He who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, became sin for us. Now you listen to me this morning. Every wicked thought that you and I have ever had, and every evil deed that we have ever done, was placed on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He became sin for us. That's why the temple veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. That's why the skies were darkened as Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary. And as the blood came flowing down from his brow and from his hands, his side, and his feet. That's why one of the seven sayings of Jesus was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reason was that God the Father could no longer look upon his Son, for his Son had become sin for you and for me. He had taken sin upon himself and become sin for us. He, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You see, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You ought to just stop and think about that for a moment. Jesus bore your sin. Jesus shed his blood for your sin, and it's only through Jesus that a man can have his sins forgiven. You can get baptized in that baptistry over there until your fingers shrivel up like prunes, but water's not going to wash away your sin. You can join every church in town, but church membership's not going to wash away your sin. I mean, you're not going to get saved by walking into a church. It's just not going to happen. But when you trust in Christ as your Savior, your sins are washed away. Thank God for the power of the gospel. Look at that in verse number 17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. I remember when I was just starting off in the ministry, I was an assistant pastor in the Bay Area, and a lady called the church. She said, I have a son in Sunnyvale. He's messed up. He needs somebody to go talk to him. I said, all right. I got away from my little cubicle there and got in my car and went over to that next town, and I knocked on the door, and Dennis answered the door, and he invited me into his living room, and we began to talk some, and I opened the Bible, and I showed him from the Bible that all men are sinners, that Jesus died for our sin and shed his blood for our sin, and that anybody who puts their faith in Jesus Christ can be saved because he loves us and he wants us to be reconciled. And I shared some of this with Dennis. I think 30 or 40 minutes later, Dennis kind of got a hold of that, and I said, Dennis, would you like to pray right now and put your faith in Jesus Christ? He said, yes, I would. And Dennis prayed and got saved right in his house. After he prayed, I shared some more verses with him about baptism and assurance of salvation and the Holy Spirit and the local church and just kind of helping him with some next steps. And before I left, as I was getting ready to go, Dennis said, excuse me, Mr. Chapel, he said, can you wait for just a moment? I said, sure. He went back to the back of the house. He came out to the front of the house where I was, and he had in his hands a shoebox. And I thought, well, this is weird. A guy wants to give me shoes. I've had people give me things that I've led to the Lord. They've come back later and said, hey, thanks for leading me to the Lord. And one guy gave me a Snicker bar. One guy gave me a deer rifle, you know. And I thought, well, this guy's going to give me some shoes. I don't know why. And he said, I just want to give you this. And I opened up the shoebox, and inside the shoebox there was some grass clippings from grass. Not the kind you mow, but the other kind. There was several pipes and red pills and white pills, all kinds of stuff in there. And he said to me, he said, you know, now that Jesus is in here, I figure I better not be putting this stuff in here anymore. I said, well, you're exactly right. I was happy for him. And so I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I stood up from his couch. I put my King James Bible under this arm, my drugs under this arm, and walked out of his house like this. I got out of that door and I thought, man, what am I doing? I could see the headlines, Baptist preacher selling drugs door to door, you know. I got in the car as quick as I could. I put my Bible in the front seat. I put my drugs right next to it. I covered it with my coat. And I went as slowly as I could to the next 7-Eleven. I went behind the 7-Eleven, threw that stuff away. But you know what I saw as a young minister just getting started in ministry? I saw the power of the gospel. I didn't say anything to the man about drugs. I didn't tell him he needed to clean up his life. A lot of people think they need to clean up themselves before they can ask Jesus to come in their heart. Listen, it's a lot better if you just invite him into your heart. He'll help you clean up. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the presence of Jesus Christ, you see. And it's through the gospel that a man is saved. And it's by the Holy Spirit that this process takes place. John 6 and 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." And that process takes place by the word of God speaking into your heart and the Spirit of God convicting your heart. And if that's happening to you this morning, then don't fight the Spirit of God, but come and trust Jesus as your Savior. Oh, the Holy Spirit gives us power and unction for witnessing. Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." God says, if you'll let my Spirit work through you, I'll help you to get that gospel out. You say, "Pastor Chappell, you're saying that we're all to be rooted in ministry and we're to be ready at work tomorrow to tell someone how to get saved." But that scares me. I don't have that gift of gab like that. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. If you'll be a yielded Christian, he'll say, "John, I want you to talk to that guy right next to you." It won't be an audible voice, but he'll move on your heart to tell somebody about Jesus. And there's power in the gospel, and there's power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm trying to say to you, it doesn't matter how old you are, who you are, what your health is. If you'll get into the gospel, if you'll begin to understand the word of God, and if you'll say, "Spirit of God, I don't know much, I don't have much, but if you'll use me, I'll tell somebody else about Jesus." I'm telling you, my friend, God will use you in the ministry. We're not going to win the Antelope Valley, much less our country, if just the pastors talk about it. But he says, "I want you to equip the saints for the work of the ministry." All of us together. As I stood that day at Mission Control thinking about their mission, I read the last sentence of that statement, and I want to share it with you before I'm done. The last sentence of the Mission Control mission statement said this: "To recognize that the greatest error is not to have tried and failed, but that in trying, we do not give it our best effort." So, the greatest error is not that you try and fail. The greatest error is that when you tried, you did not give it your best effort. And I want to ask you this morning, when it comes to giving others the gospel, helping others to know about Jesus, are you giving that your best effort? When was the last time a friend was sitting next to you in church that you invited? When was the last time someone that you have been working on saw God do a great work in their life, that God used you? Oh, you say, "Pastor, aren't you glad I'm here?" Sure, I'm glad you're here. But don't you know someone else who needs reconciliation? Someone else who needs Jesus Christ? Does it not say he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily.